was texting you the other day, and I read there's a book coming out about the making of Fury Road. And can you believe that George Miller really wanted Eminem to play Max? Kind of strange. Nothing against Eminem, because I love me some Eminem. In fact, I'm looking forward to seeing him in the Super Bowl this Sunday at halftime. But I just don't see him as Max, you know. The reason Miller did that is when he worked with Brittany Murphy on Happy Feet, when she was one of the voices, she asked him how he was working with him on 8 Mile, and she said, he was great. He's absolutely professional, and so he was, like, really interested. But then it came down to Jeremy Renner, Armie Hammer, and, of course, Tom Hardy. And it was almost – Renner, I guess, never really worked out. And they really liked Armie Hammer. This was pre-sexual misconduct Armie Hammer, of course. So he was auditioning for the role, and they really liked him. And Tom Hardy walked in, and he did an audition with Armie Hammer, and he literally spit in his face as part of the act of the audition. And the casting director and George Miller were like, okay, that's our guy. And that's how Tom Hardy became to be Mad Max. And a little interesting story, though. You know, it's cool to read stuff like people do still make books, you know, and even this internet world that they're doing a making of book from one of the best films of this century so far. So kind of cool. A little tidbit there for people who did not know that about Mad Max Fury Road. But this is the Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Mark.
This is Matt.
And no Long today, as he is not with us, as he's having a family matter going on. And we wish him all the best. And he will hopefully, as planned, be back next week to join us if everything turns out okay with his family issue. But good, best of luck to him and his family with what's going on. He will be missed this week. And you know, we can't even bust his balls, man. Like, you know, when Frank or one of you guys miss a show, you normally bust y'all's balls because you miss a show. But, you know, this is like a personal matter, man. So I can't bust his balls, you know, unfortunately.
No, whenever you have a reason, you know, there's reasons and there's excuses. Yeah. This is a reason, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And you can't bust balls for reasons, you know.
I know. I
forgot my pants, you know.
Right. And plus
the famous Frank excuse. You know,
along with probably threaten us, you know, if we bust his balls or this, you know, before that Long can be a secret agent, and I don't want to die. I really, you know,
stuff would turn up missing. Your dog's missing, you know.
Yeah,
your goldfish mysteriously turned up dead,
I find fish heads on my front porch, you know, going to bring a fish, you know, something like that. And but no, in all seriousness, though, best wishes with Long and his family as they deal with this. And it's nothing. I don't want that to sound like there's anything terrible going on. Just some sickness in his family, and it's not COVID or anything like that. Just some stuff he's dealing with his father. So it's all good. Yeah. Wishing the best and a speedy recovery to his dad. Sammy's no Duel of the Nerds today. So you people. Our new segment that's been we hope it's been very popular. Yeah, we hope y'all are enjoying it. We've had a lot of fun doing it. We've had a lot of fun doing it. It has been a fun segment so far. We enjoy it, but it'll have to wait till next week because there's not much Duel of the Nerds if you don't have three of us to be a judge.
And
plus, I was supposed to battle Long this week and go for three in a row. You know, I totally plan on still whooping his ass next week.
Now you have even more time to prep, man.
And continue my winning streak and whooping his ass. So the Duel of the Nerds segment will return next week. And but for this week, me and Matt are going to bring you the show and our the usual fun talking Starship Troopers here in just a bit. But let's start the I guess how are you, Matt? Good week, man.
Yeah, it's been a good week. Pretty sunny versus last week. The weather has been polar opposites.
I'm honestly, I may not sound it or look it, but I'm exhausted, working in the grocery business and, fucking Valentine's and Super Bowl the same week. Fuck you, NFL, with your 17th game and push the Super Bowl back a week. Cause it's a lot going on in the grocery store. And, And I was glad to get out of there today and not have to deal with it again until Monday when it's Valentine's. And I hate Valentine's anyways. It's this pointless, stupid holiday. And I've even thought that it has nothing to do with not being married anymore. I've always thought it was a stupid, pointless holiday. You know, like stuff that's legitimately traditional, like Christmas and Thanksgiving and Halloween and New Year's have been around for many, many, many years. You know, I appreciate those holidays, but these made up consumer holidays like Valentine's, I've never really, because Valentine's is a fairly new holiday as far as the consumerism of it, from what I understand. Like, you know, in the 70s or 80s, it started becoming more consumer like. You know, so it's like, screw Valentine's.
For real, man. It's like, you know, any day that says that you have to, you know, buy, you know, your significant other stuff, it's like, you know. Well, yeah.
And I know you, Matt, that you're very good to Jackie and you take care of her throughout the year, because I see how y'all are with each other. But does she still expect something expensive on Monday, or is she cool about it?
She would expect something, but not something like expensive or anything
extravagant,
like you know, breakfast or you know, something,
a nice,
you know,
gesture, sweet,
you know,
Well, that's how kind of when I was married, the ex was always like that. She just expected a nice gesture, and instead of spending $60 on flowers, she would rather have spent $60 and go and had a nice meal, you know, or something, which is cool.
A nice
Some of these women out there, no offense to any listeners, some of you, some high maintenance bitches. And y'all expect high maintenance shit, and that's not cool. High maintenance, you know. Yeah. So if you're gonna get some high maintenance, you're gonna get some high maintenance shit from your man. You better high maintenance him back, and you know what I'm saying. Dropping down to the knees,
right?
But anyway,
crazy.
Let's get into the show officially. Then we'll download this, where we tell people what we streamed, watched, checked out this week, and I guess I'll start because I really didn't. I've been so busy, I didn't really watch a lot. But I did – this sounds kind of weird because I didn't finish it. But I did start watching Nightmare Alley, the new Guillermo del Toro film. I'm about 45 minutes into it, and it's your typical del Toro. It's a slow burn, building up a story that – like writing a novel, you know, how he does. So far, so good. I will get around to finishing it. I just haven't had a chance to yet. Bradley Cooper's really good in it. Set design, production design is top-notch del Toro, as always. I'm not really sure what it's about 45 minutes into it, to be honest. Bradley Cooper is this kind of vagabond that ends up with a circus, and he's learning the act from Toni Collette's character, and that's about where I'm at. So I'm not really sure what the deeper meaning of the story is yet. You know, Willem Dafoe is in it, plays like the I don't know what you call the leader of a circus. I can't think of the name.
Ringleader?
I guess. And you know, it looks interesting so far. I'll definitely will finish it. It's a del Toro film. I'll finish watching that. And other than that, I had on the background the other day, Last of the Mohicans, you know, one of my favorite movies of all time. I'm a sucker, man, for those sometimes for Vudu's $5 deals. Like, I own Last Mohicans on Blu-ray, but then I'm like, hey, it's $5 for a digital copy, which means I don't have to get up and put my Blu-ray in.
Exactly.
So I don't do it for everything, but I do it for some of my favorite films, you know? So,
yeah.
And other than that, The Book of Boba Fett, which, you know, we'll talk about in a minute, the season finale. That's about all I really watched, though.
Also watched Book of Boba Fett. We'll save that for the end. I watched the 7th episode of Peacemaker. I like how it's going. I definitely feel like it's it's above average. There's some parts of it that I just that have kind of grown on me.
the goofy intro.
Yeah, I think the first episode is probably the one that I feel is the hardest to watch, because it starts off slow and a little overly goofy, but then at the end, oh man, it's just the end is just it goes from, like, you know, you're stuck in like first or second gear, it goes all the way to fifth gear. It's nuts,
Did he direct every episode, or is he just a producer?
He's directing it. Yeah.
No, it's actually
and he, He was talking, man. He introduced the Klan during Black History Month in his series. I mean, they die, and all of them are named like a white wanker and racist bastard. It, like, you know, whenever you hear the you see the subtext going across the screen. Everyone's named like a racist pig fucker or something like that, and so it's very, very James Gunn. Robert Patrick is, you know, he does his part well. John Cena, I feel like he's kind of grown on me. You know, don't think he's, you know, the best fit for a show like this maybe, but he works. He's, you know, for what they have him doing, this goofy metalhead, 80s rock metalhead dude, you know.
Well, my biggest thing about Cena has always been that he's feels to me like he's trying to be the white rock, you know, I can't get past he's just trying to be another Dwayne Johnson, and he just doesn't have the charisma to me that Dwayne has, you know. Cena, I loved watching Cena in the ring when he was wrestling. I always enjoyed him, but on screen, I haven't found that enough to like about him yet.
I felt like my favorite movie of his, and maybe I need to watch it again to reevaluate it, but you remember Cock Blockers?
Yeah.
I think you watched it. Yeah. I thought he was funny in that movie as good. A parent trying to stop his kid from having sex.
I think that's where he works best. He works good in small doses, I think.
That's a good point to make. You know, if, you know, being front and center, you know, maybe he's overdone, but it's entertaining. It's entertaining to say the least. And I can't wait for the final episode and to see where it goes. If we're getting a season two or we're going to move on to Idris Elba's character or something, you know? We'll see how far this goes, man.
Oh yeah. Well, before we talk about it, I know Long every now and then has mentioned, you know, talking some music on the show. I have listened to the new Eddie Vedder album today, though. For anybody who's listened to the show long enough knows that I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan, and their lead singer, mm-hmm. Eddie, put out his third solo album today, and man, it's good. You know, it's sometimes you have a passion for things like, you know, we do for movies or you do for cars, or it's sometimes mm-hmm. people don't understand your passion. You know, I think when there's a certain fandom like Star Wars or Dragon Ball and other people talk about it, you kind of understand each other. But there's some fashions that run deeper, like with me and Pearl Jam, and people don't understand why that is. And you can't explain it to them. You know, they say, oh, well, did the music save your life or something silly like that or something? You know, what did it do for you? And sometimes it's just about the right place at the right time. And that's how that band was when I was in high school. You know, just the right place, the right time. They spoke to me in a different way that music had never spoken to me before. And now 30 years into their career, I still listen to everything they put out. And this solo record from Eddie and I'm not just beating the drum because I'm a fan of his. It really is a really good fucking rock record. He made a solid album. It might be his best. It's his third solo album. It might be, after just a couple listens, might be my favorite solo record he's done. So that says a lot. So I've been spinning that. Not spin it because the vinyl's not coming out till like July. So I picked it up on CD, but I probably will get the vinyl when it comes out.
I haven't bought in. Wasn't Backspacer his single or his solo album?
That's a Pearl Jam album.
That is a Pearl Jam album.
His solo albums were the soundtrack for Into the Wild, which is a great soundtrack. Then he had ukulele songs, and now the new one today is called Earthling. And this has a bunch of special guests on it. Stevie Wonder's on the album, Elton John, Ringo Starr, a lot of special guests on this record.
Dang, dude.
It's some good stuff. And a lot of his influences, things. The great Glenn Hansard, who's an Irish folk rock singer I like, he's on the record with him. So some good stuff on it. But other than that, man, yeah, Boba Fett. Let's talk this season finale, which was directed by Robert Rodriguez. It's funny, I 5 minutes into it, I had a feeling it was Robert Rodriguez. There's just sometimes you know a director's style. I even realized he directed until the credits came up at the end, but I could just tell just the way he shoots his characters and stuff. that it's Robert Rodriguez doing it. You know, this, people knocked the Boba Fett show some about the way the story was, but you know, what's now that all seven episodes are out, I really liked it quite a bit. You know, I think people need to relax and let the fucking story unfold. And that's what it did with the seventh episode. And I know you had the season 2.5 of Mandalorian in the middle of it, but there was a reason for it. It all flowed together nicely. And there's a lot of action in this episode. A lot happens.
A lot.
Some really cool fucking Star Wars moments that had me – I mean, Matt, I'm not going to lie to you, man. Me and the kids were cheering the screen. That's something I don't do very often. I have rarely cheered at movies. I think everyone in the whole world cheered when Cap caught the hammer and when the heroes came back in Endgame. Certain moments are just so big. But we were cheering the screen. When we're going to spoiler territory here. But, you know, this episode comes out Monday morning. If you ain't watched Boba Fett in 5 days, well, I can't help you. when he came out riding on that Rancor – I mean, that was clapworthy. That was freaking badass.
That was cool, man.
When him and the Mando both fly simultaneously in their jetpacks, that was awesome. There's so much cool in this episode, and it was a lot of fun to watch. I sat back and I just enjoyed it. You know what I think is a cool thing about this that I didn't even realize? Is that people said that this did nothing for Boba Fett's story overall. You know the way I see that? I read an article that gave me a different opinion on this, and sometimes I usually don't let articles sway my opinion, but I actually thought about this. In some ways, that's a good thing. Everyone was worried that Boba Fett's not going to be a mystery anymore, right? That we're not going to know who he was and all this. Think about it. He's still a mystery. How much do we really learn about Boba Fett other than he got out of the Sarlacc pit? We learned how he survived and took over Mos Espa. But most of his past is still a mystery. So in some ways, that's a good thing. You know, I don't think they ruined the character at all. Boba Fett was a stigma and a cult classic because of the action figure and that he was played up for Empire Strikes Back and he only had seven lines. And it became a word of mouth cult figure over the years. But mm-hmm. It's okay to tell more stories. You know, these characters get better in our pop culture it's hard to keep a mystery forever. And some of that is because as much as people want to stay a mystery, there's also a large group of fans that want to know more. They wanted to know Wolverine's origin. They want to know where Boba Fett came from and whether he survived the Sarlacc pit. And that's just the way it is. So for those people that don't want it, there are people that do want it. And I'm over here just sitting back, just enjoying it. Yeah, just enjoy the ride that fucking Disney has given us, you know?
Yeah, dude. I mean, he crawled out of the anus of Tatooine. That's got to count for something, you know? No, but I'm with you, man. The whenever he popped out on the Rancor, I was like, man, how are they going to fucking beat these shielded droids? Not even the Darksabers going through. I thought Grogu was going to come in and use the Force, you know, or something. You had the Rancor, and I was like, man, I wonder if Long's like, oh, big monsters, you know, in a Star Wars episode. You know, I think if Long was here, he'd be like, you know, man, you maybe gave him some Godzilla like feels, you know.
Well, there's a huge King Kong reference in it when the Rancor climbs a building. I mean, you know.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Which that's another thing to talk about. Grogu has the shirt. But
yes,
some people are like, you know, did he, you know, just let him go? Because, you know, maybe he had that same kind of moment with Luke where, you know, that Luke had with Yoda when he said, my friends are in trouble. I have to save them. I sense it. You know, what if he had that and, you know, he understood, maybe let him go and maybe he gave them both or let him have the shirt for protection. You don't know. It's a mystery right now.
Right.
You know?
Well, but according to the current continuities, though, we know Ben was his first student, though. So.
Mm-hmm. And another thing on the last episode, whenever he's asking Ahsoka if he's ever going to see her again, did they shack up? You know?
I think they just knew each other.
Maybe.
No. Jedi maybe, don't do
but,
that.
You know, yeah, in the old order, they don't do that. Yeah. But in the new, you know, the ancient texts with Mary Jane.
I think it's more that, I think you're reading way you know? Too much into it. I think it's more they just.
I am.
Because she's not technically a Jedi, but I think at this point, because remember, she had left the Order, even though they don't reveal that. So I think it's more just that they, he knows that she was a Jedi, and it's just all the last of their kind, you know? Because as far as we know, Luke and Ahsoka might be the only Jedi left at this point. You know, we don't really know. That's why Luke has to build the academy. So, but it was cool seeing Grogu do some Force things, though. He still had enough training. I mean, he puts the Rancor to sleep. I would have loved to have had another Danny Trejo cameo where he comes over the sleepy Rancor and puts his hands over something. I felt like, especially being directed by Robert Rodriguez, I was like, come on, man, you need to give your boy one more cameo in Star Wars, you know? Because
I know, right?
It just seems like. It just seemed like the perfect place for it. We get Boba Fett and Cad Bane going head to toe. You know, Cad Bane, a lot of people don't know, is very much based on Lee Van Cleef, of course, and from his mannerisms to the voice that
He looks like Sabata. Corey Burton does. You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, Sabata's a good movie. We got to do that on the podcast one day. I really like that film.
Heck yeah, man! Had like one or two sequels, right?
Yeah, the sequels weren't as good, but the first one's great. You know, they he had a face off of Boba Fett, and he almost takes Fett down. You know, he's whooping his ass, and the Fett to me, it felt like Fett adverted from his bounty hunter training to all of a sudden remember what the Tuskens taught him, and he comes up whooping ass with his Gandalfy stick, and he as far as we know, essentially kills Cad Bane by stabbing him through the chest. As we know in Star Wars, like a lot of these fantasy universes, not all is that seems, and maybe Cad's not dead. It seems like a I know if you're a hardcore Star Wars follower going back to the Clone Wars, you know Cad has had a good story. You know, they've ran a story. And if it is the end of Cad Bane, okay, his story was told. But for people that don't follow that stuff, and this is the first time you saw him in live action, it seems like, oh, he only shows up for an episode and a scene, and that's it. Feels a little disappointing, you know, because he is a cool character. So we'll see. But essentially, you know, the story starts out really where, you know, Boba and Finnick and Mando have a plan to keep the syndicate from coming into the city having all corners of the city turned, along with Chris Stanson helps them out too. But the syndicate was one above them, and it already paid off the people to essentially fight Boba Fett and his people. So the plan kind of goes haywire. But for the use of jetpacks and rancors and the mod gang and other things, they are able to win the day and defeat Cad Bane and his army of the syndicate and run the syndicate out of Mos Espa. And Mando takes off with Grogu at the end of the show, which will lead into whatever he does in season 3. And Boba Fett is now the ruler of Mos Espa still at the end of the show.
Post-credit scene of Cobb
Vanth. The sheriff is still alive in the back to tank, and the mod doctor looks like he's going to maybe cybernetically enhance him. So we'll see what happens whenever he comes back. And don't worry yet.
There's one thing that I feel like you can pick on in the last episode, and that's, you know, one of the biker gang dudes, you know, that's helping Fett. He does that spin move for no reason. He's just like, I'm going to turn my back to oncoming enemies and then shoot. You know, and it was clearly like stylized, and I'm like, I felt like it was out of place.
You think that's not Robert Rodriguez doing that though?
Maybe, yeah. But I felt like it was out of place. I would have liked to, you know, a shoot from the hip kind of thing. You know,
well, also that guy, you know, not that Star Wars is ever known for winning Academy Awards for his acting. That guy that you're talking about spinning with the eye thing going, his acting got on my nerve. He felt like he was reading all his lines. He was probably, you're right, the weak link in the episode. He's just not very good. Now the girl that I think she's on a real popular show on Hulu or something, she's really good. I think she's great.
She's got a lot of
charisma and charm, and I wouldn't mind seeing more of her in the Star Wars universe and what she does. You know, I know people were making fun of the Power Ranger looking bikes. I don't care. It doesn't really bother me. You know, it's funny because I mean, people, you know, people are so stuck on what they think Star Wars or any popular culture item should be. And sometimes you have to be a little open to letting new stuff in. And, you know, whether it's Leia floating in space, new force powers, or mod biker gangs, you know, sometimes you just open up the world to new things. And you may not like all of it, but, you know, just sit back and enjoy it and relax a little bit, I think. You know, don't take it too harsh. And that's kind of what I did with Boba Fett. And overall, I really enjoyed the 7 episodes. I think it's cool as shit. I've said this many times on the show before. Just keep giving me all the Star Wars stuff. You know, I'm fine with it. You know, starting in 2015 when they announced they were making more Star Wars movies, and you know, it's fine with me. I'm all for it. Well, 15 was when we got Force Awakens. They announced a couple years before that. But
who would have known we would have had this resurgence? No. You know,
this little mini universe going on TV that's going to lead into something. I mean, you know, we'll talk about the news later. You know, the Obi-Wan show's coming soon, and Ahsoka and Andor, and I mean, it's great stuff. Keep it coming.
Keep it coming.
But let's get into today's featured film. 1997, directed by Paul Verhoeven, from the novel by Robert Heinlein, which I actually read when I was in college. I hated the book, to be honest.
Promoted militarism and fascism.
Yeah, and the movie is nothing like the book, other than the base. Because even Paul Verhoeven, when they sat down to do this, said, "You can't film this. We have to make our own story." So basically, they took ideas from the book and
got bored.
Yeah, they took ideas from the book and turned it into their own version of the movie. And that is Starship Troopers. Essentially, the world is – we live in the future. We all live in these massive cities because I'm assuming – I guess you have to take some grain of salt with it. There was a takeover.
The veterans took over the government and made – that's why you have to serve in the military to become a citizen. Yes. Otherwise, you're considered a civilian, and you can't vote and stuff like that.
Yes, and these bugs are constantly attacking the Earth, and we are at war with them in space. And so, you become a citizen, you have to join the fight against the bugs and try to win your citizenship. And Johnny Rico's parents don't want him to do it. They want him to stay living the rich, happy life in Buenos Aires, which is one of the massive cities. And but he does it anyway because his girlfriend's going to join the military and a couple of his buddies, and he's like, "Screw you, mom and dad, I'm going to do it. Would you like to know more?" He goes to fight
my part
for the military, and it's basically a war movie about us fighting these giant bugs, and we're looking about how the bugs seem to be intelligent in their own way. And they find out there's a brain bug they got to capture, and hopefully can defeat the bad guys. And a lot of strange stuff happens in this movie. Gratuitous nudity, ultraviolence, weird commercials that promote the militarism of it. And what Paul Verhoeven and them did was they kind of took the idea of the fascism and the militarism of the novel, and they kind of turned it into more of a satire parody. Yeah, that's the right word.
But a smart one. Not only a smart goofy, one, yes.
One thing I don't like in RoboCop, which is directed by Verhoeven, and I love RoboCop; it's a classic. But I don't like the goofy satire in it. I wish they would take out the "I'll buy that for a dollar" stuff. I don't like that. But in Starship Troopers, it works. It's like Paul Verhoeven learned how to do the satire better by the time he made this movie 10 years later, and the satire in Starship Troopers isn't as annoying, you know. If that makes sense, it kind of helps with the story.
Same crew as RoboCop too, essentially the same cinematographer.
And when I say there's a lot of weird stuff in this movie, is like it's extremely flatly acted. It's not real well acted, but it makes up for it. And man, what I thought were really good special effects for 1997. Rewatch it this week. Yeah. Holds up really well. But they say
CGI and paintings to capture that.
Yeah, they also saved a lot of money on using really – they didn't – ones when you watch this, you might think, well, why their military uniforms look like, what are they going to protect them from? Nothing. So they basically just wear a body shield and a helmet. But some of that, one of that was to save money. Two, they also, the idea was, I guess, in the script, that's not really told in the movie, is that they felt like because there were hundreds of millions of soldiers going to war every day, they couldn't afford to outfit them. So they just gave them a simple outfit, which is kind of funny. And so there's just a lot of simpleness to this movie, as complicated as it is.
Yeah, some juvenileness and some real world, kind of stuff, like going, following your girlfriend in the military, joining because she's going, and then, being immature with each other in the locker room, being goofy. There's that stuff, Rico, he does all right. There was more stuff put in with the romance between him and Denise Richards' character, but they took it out because the film does drag a little bit and, in places, but it was going to drag even more with that stuff. I'm happy with the final cut. They didn't have to have all that romance stuff in there.
Denise Richards, she's not very good. A lot of the actors aren't real good in this movie. It feels like a lot of this was shot in one take. Casper Van Dien plays Johnny Rico, is just honestly pretty awful in the film, but he does okay for what he works. And you see it mostly in scenes where like Michael Ironside is on screen or Clancy Brown. These are guys that have been acting for years and they're really good. They know what they're doing. You see like Casper
play the military type real well.
Yeah. And then Casper comes on screen and you're just like, nah, you're just not as good as him, dude. But I don't think their acting is so bad that it pulls you out of the movie, because there's enough going on in the film that it keeps it exciting.
Yes.
Cause there is a lot of really good action packed sequences in this film. Some good battle scenes, guns that never seem to run out of ammo. That's right. Yes. They're just blasting these bugs away. And they never run out. A lot of violence in the film. Which is almost Paul Verhoeven said they did that because they wanted to show how awful war was, even in a futuristic war. And I'm like, okay, I get that. But it's just like
– guy shooting his head – getting his head blown off because of a training during the training.
I know.
Rico loses his staff sergeant title.
Yeah, then they whip him for it. It's like, damn. It's
like 10 lashes.
Yeah, for his guy accidentally dying, it's like holy shit.
It's all because Denise Richards broke it off with him before he went out into training.
Montage. I mean, I would feel pretty bad if Denise Richards broke it off with me too. I mean, I'd be sad for weeks. But then I'd just go watch her Wild Things and I'd forget all about it. Okay,
cool. Exactly.
Gary Busey's son is in this movie, Jake Busey, which is it's kind of odd. He's kind of made a career of playing campy characters ever since this film. This is one of his early roles. And ever since, though, that's kind of been his career. I was looking at his IMDb page, and he's in a lot of 3.0, 3.5 movies. So he's made a career of those kind of films.
He's definitely a Busey.
Following in the footsteps of his dad, you could say.
His dad did have Point Break, though. I did like him in Point Break for what he did.
That's true. Then there's Neil Patrick Harris, Doogie Howser, who plays like the their psychic friend. And that's the thing. Like, they just throw in there's telekineticus in this movie. Some of these humans have psychic abilities. It's like, what? It's just sort of thrown out there.
They're like, you could be psychic. Let's test you.
Yes.
And then that's Dina Meyer, who shows the ladies.
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah. She's been in some films.
She's been in some stuff. And then I guess I missed it while I was watching, but I guess Rue McClanahan from the Golden Girls is in this film at some point. I didn't see that, Dee Norris from Breaking Bad. He's in it, one of the military commanders towards the beginning of the film. I thought that was kind of strange. This is just it's kind of just a bizarre film that was that came out in 97, and I remember having a lot of hype behind it. I think if I remember right, this movie did okay at the box office. I actually saw this in theaters. And I remember when I watched it originally, I don't know if I necessarily liked it the first time I watched it. I thought it was okay. I think it grew on me over the years. It only made $54 million in the U.S.
It did make more money on whenever it went to DVD.
Yes. This movie has had a large cult following. It's gotten a huge cult following over the years. And that to the point that direct-to-video sequels got made. There was a Starship Troopers 2 and 3. It had an animated series.
And there was an anime.
Yeah, there's been a couple of anime movies plus an animated series. So this movie did garner a large cult following. Now, Robert Hyland fans, they don't like it at all. They can't stand the movie and what it did to the characters. Which seems to be a common theme with fans of old novels. You know, the Tolkien diehards don't like the Lord of the Rings stuff. So the Hyland people don't like this film. So I just chalk that up to they're old and they're old. You know, it's like, just shut up.
They're old and they're old.
I enjoy the movie for the most part. I hadn't watched it years. I rewatched it this week, and I actually sat and I enjoyed watching it. I'm with you. It drags a little bit in parts. The world building in it is it sort of throws you into things. It could have maybe used a little more world building, explaining why people live in these massive cities. And then they could have handled the emotional impact of a little bit more, like when Buenos Aires gets attacked. They're just sort of like, oh, let's all go to war. And like, I felt like, you know, all these people's moms and dads die. And it's mentioned kind of a couple of times, but it just feels like, I don't know. It just felt a little rushed in parts.
Yeah.
Like they throw a lot in this movie because there's a lot going on. There's like, what, four or five major battle sequences in this game or game in this movie.
Yeah.
It feels like watching a video game at times. Towards the end of the film, you have these bugs that are just kill, kill, kill. And when Denise Richards and her co-captain, Patrick Muldoon's character, go down the bug hole, all of a sudden the bugs don't kill them. They do some weird thing where they suck his brain out, which is gross.
Yeah.
And it actually is edited out in most countries. That scene's completely edited. And all of a sudden they want to study the humans. That sort of just came out of nowhere. It's like, wait, what? So there's a lot going. There's a lot going on in the film, but I think the action sequences and the CGI and just kind of the sheer insanity of it all makes it come together in a decent way. I mean, it gets a 7.6 on IMDb, so people generally like this movie. You know,
I like how it. There's other satire elements too. You know how. A lot of these, 100,000 were dead. It's kind of like, Normandy, whenever they just sent waves, of people at the enemy and, didn't have a whole lot of information and the troops don't get a whole lot of information.
Right.
They don't, and that's revealed. Just other military things, just the, how glorious the military is. And then, you have the recruiter at the desk, like, oh, mobile infantry. It made me the man I am today. He's missing his legs, got a metal hand. And Rico's like, oh, he still went cause of the girl, man, I guess. And then, it's a pretty brutal film. Originally it was PG-13. And then they're like, whoops, it should be rated R. There's like some people got in, some 13-year-olds made it into theaters with it still PG-13, and then before they changed it. And you had like all that nudity.
Ultra violence.
And the blood.
Yeah. I actually can confess and say I saw the second one a long time ago. I remember renting it.
Really?
And it's not very good. There's a nice gratuitous nudity scene in that one too, with a blonde chick that's probably hotter than Dina Meyer, but it's not very good. The third one's pretty recent, if I remember right. That third one came out not that long ago. I had it pulled up on IMDb just a second ago, but Starship Troopers. I did see some of the animated series. Some of the animated series wasn't bad. 2008 for the third one. Okay. Well, I guess it's not that long ago.
Yeah, not too long ago.
I don't think the second one had Casper Van Dien in it. No, it didn't. It had different actors in the second one. Yeah, Casper Van Dien came back for the third one. Then I think there's a recent anime that has Van Dien in it. 2017. Yeah, see, Cassie Van Dien came back to voice, and so did Dina Meyer. They came back to voice their characters. Okay. Starship Troopers, Trainer of Mars. It's an animated film. It's actually on Netflix. Huh. So I have to give that a watch on Netflix, see if it's any good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I remember the animated series being pretty decent, too. I remember when it came out, it was CGI. It was one of the more expensive animated series produced at that time because it was one of the early days of CGI animation.
All CGI.
But Starship Troopers is a fun movie. I think overall I'd say it's a – I'd probably give it a B. Yeah, probably even B.
Yeah.
It's a solid B film. I mean,
looks good today still. You know.
Yeah, good CGI. If you can sit back and enjoy it for the fun of it and not take the satire too serious or the war too serious, it can be fun. You know, but if mm-hmm. you go with this expecting it to be a really serious war movie, then you might not enjoy it as much. It's just more of a fun sci-fi war movie. I think that's
fair. I have to agree. Yeah, with the satire and everything and the action and a little bit of football.
Crazy
football. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Another bizarre scene in the movie was sort of there.
yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, no Duel of the Nerds this week, as we mentioned earlier, as long as not with us today. But we will return next week. And I guess we could give a little preview of that, as it will be me versus Long next week, since Matt lost last week, and he'll be the judge next week. And it will be it will be Austin Powers versus Frank Drebin. How do you say it? Drebin?
Drebin.
Drebin.
Police Squad.
Yeah. So it'll a couple of parody characters. And did you notice that Austin Powers reunion commercial during the Super Bowl tomorrow, Matt?
I saw that.
I actually saw the commercial already.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny, actually. I thought that was pretty funny. Apparently, Jim Carrey is going to be back as the cable guy too during the commercial. So
I saw an ad I saw the thing for that. The headline
that I'm not as excited about. I'm not really a cable guy fan. I think I'm most by the time this episode hits, we have already seen all these commercials. I think I'm honestly most excited about the Lord of the Rings trailer. I mean, you know, if we get a Sonic trailer, a DC trailer, but I think I'm really, really curious about this Lord of the Rings show. But I have to say that's what I'm most excited about seeing this Sunday is our first official look at the Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power. So definitely a fan of that. So that's probably the biggest one. But there was another cool trailer that came out this week, man. Man, this might be my favorite trailer since the Batman trailer. I really like the trailer for Jurassic Park Dominion. I think it looks freaking badass. We're getting Sam Neill and I can't think of her name. Jeff Goldblum and Laura Dern. the original cast coming back to join with Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard's characters. And Colin Trevorrow's coming back to direct, who directed Jurassic World. And this is an exciting trailer. Lots of dinosaurs. I'm ready to see this. It looks good. You know, it comes out June 11th, which is perfect timing because that's a week after our 300th episode, and we probably will be doing Jurassic Park: The Lost World the week that Dominion comes out. But I'm excited for this, man. In fact, I want to rewatch Fallen Kingdom before I see it because I know from the looks of this trailer, it definitely has elements for what happened in Fallen Kingdom, but I don't retain Fallen Kingdom enough to remember, so I'm gonna have to refresh my memory, you know?
Yeah. I remember the auction with the enhanced dinosaurs and you know, getting Pratt to get Blue off the island.
Right. That's what I remember, like the first hour or so, but I don't remember how it ended that got us to the point we are in Dominion. So I need to rewatch it to see what happened. Because I really like Jurassic World quite a bit, the way they rebooted the franchise and so they're promoting this as the epic conclusion of the Jurassic saga. So, you know, so we'll see where they go with it. But definitely excited. I'm always down for dinosaurs kicking ass on the screen. And we'll see. Hopefully it's good.
Yeah.
Speaking of Amazon, they bought the rights to the Blade Runner 2099 television series. It is going to be produced by Ridley Scott. It's going to produce. It's a direct sequel to Blade Runner 2099. So Amazon buying up some popular properties, Lord of the Rings, and now Blade Runner. And of course, they have The Boys. But this could be good. You know, I think a Blade Runner series could be really well done if done properly.
Yeah, I agree.
And we'll see. I'm obviously. It'll be new characters, I'm assuming, because Ryan Gosling, yeah, they died. Yeah, they all died at the end of 2099.
I want to say he did definitely die.
Yeah, he drowned in the yeah, I think so. So we'll see.
Within cells interlinked.
And I think it's cool that Ridley Scott's going to be on board for producing. So hopefully it comes out.
Oh, yeah, you got to have him over there, man. You got to have him, you know, part of it somehow.
Yep. Russell Crowe has been cast in the – I didn't realize Sony was still doing this, the Kraven the Hunter movie. This is just another one of the Sony movies like Morbius that's coming out. And here's the thing. When I say this stuff, I'll probably watch these movies because I'm a comic book fan, but I'm not going to rush out to the theater to see Morbius. I'll wait for it on video.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel like Kraven the Hunter. I want to see Kraven go up against Spider-Man in a movie. I don't want to see a movie about Kraven the Hunter.
Exactly.
It's like, I don't care.
We don't need a whole, you know.
Yeah. Like the character Morbius, I can see his story being a film. I honestly can justify that. But Kraven, no need to tell his, you know, he can be done as a villain, not as a whole movie.
Yeah.
So we'll see. There, no word on who Russell Crowe's playing. I don't think he's playing Kraven. He's
a little old for Kraven.
Probably a little old, yeah. So we'll see.
He looks like him. I just don't think that, you know, he's going to play him.
Right. I don't think so either. I was never a fan. I won't say I wasn't a fan. I just never watched this show. But Futurama, very popular show, is going to be making a comeback on Hulu. And fans are a little disappointed, which is strange. Most of the time, fans are excited when their show comes back. But the hardcore Futurama fans say that the show ended perfectly. It doesn't need to be rebooted. And they also are not happy because apparently John DiMaggio is not coming back to voice Bender, one of the major characters.
Yeah.
So it's strange to see the news of a reboot reacted to with some mixed reactions. It usually doesn't occur that way.
I thought Futurama ended fine. You know, I hadn't given it a second thought. You know, I can remember bits of different episodes, but you know, I think Fry and Leela end up together.
I think the biggest question is when these reboot / revivals happen, is did anyone ask for it?
Yeah.
And like Futurama must have ended well because I've never heard anyone ask for it.
Never. You know?
Where then there's shows like X-Men 97 that's coming out next year. I don't know if people asked for it, but people did feel like it ended kind of quickly and could tell more stories. So it just depends on the show. So we'll see. This week, highly expected it could be a trailer for this on Sunday as well at Super Bowl. We'll see. And that is on May 25th, the 45th anniversary of Star Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi hits Disney+. Another show that kind of got some mixed reaction when it was announced this week, and not because people aren't looking forward to Ewan McGregor. People were actually complaining about, we got to watch another show that takes place on Tatooine. It's like, really? Get over yourselves. I'm excited for this. I'm super excited for this. I think Ewan McGregor's going to be great. They confirmed that it takes place 10 years after Revenge of the Sith. So Hayden Christensen's back as Darth Vader. Obi-Wan Kenobi has even hinted at some flashback scenes of him and Anakin, which just sounds really cool to get to see some of their Clone Wars adventures possibly in live action. I'm excited for this. Like always, Star Wars. People say they missed the opportunity to not put out May 4th because that's on a Wednesday. That's ridiculous. 45th anniversary of Star Wars is a lot more important than May the 4th. May the 4th is a fan holiday, you know?
Exactly.
So I can't wait. I'm excited. I'm really excited for Ewan McGregor, man, coming back to play Obi-Wan Kenobi. I think he, out of the one of the bright spots of the prequels is him doing justice to Alec Guinness, and I think Alec Guinness would be proud of how Ewan has portrayed Obi-Wan. So looking forward to that in May 25th on Disney Plus. That's all the news we got this week. So let's preview next week's film then before we get out of here. A movie that Matt's been bugging me to do for a couple years now. Not really. But you have you have asked. You like this film. I don't hate this film either. I just give you a hard time. I think it's an okay adventure film. And I've told you before, I don't really like Brendan Fraser. It's not so much the movie. I've never really – I know like he's suddenly become this golden boy of Hollywood. People are all loving his comeback and stuff. And I can appreciate that. I think I just – at the time this movie came out, I saw George of the Jungle with this goofy guy. And I just didn't really like him that much. But I'm going to watch it this week. And it's on the Peacock Network. I think it might be on Netflix too. And that is 1999's The Mummy.
Where did you get this?
On a dig down in Thebes.
Jonathan, I think you found something.
There is an ancient legend of a place known as the City of the Dead.
We call it the doorway to hell.
Where the earliest pharaohs were said to have hidden the wealth of Egypt.
Are we going into battle?
There's something out there. Something underneath that sand.
They came to uncover its secrets.
Mummies, my good son. This is where they made the mummies.
They sought to unlock its treasure.
And then there was light.
Oh, boy.
What they did...
Oh, my God. It does exist.
I think this may be the Book of the Dead.
...was unleash a force unlike any the world has ever known.
You must not read from the book!
What the hell was that? You have unleashed the creature that we have feared for more than 3,000 years.
Whoa! He will regenerate and no longer be the undead.
We are in serious trouble.
Do you swim?
If the occasion calls for it.
Trust me, it calls for it.
Universal Pictures invites you.
His powers are growing.
What?
This just keeps getting better and better.
To experience the adventure.
It appears he's already chosen his human sacrifice.
That will live forever.
If he turns me into a mummy, you're the first one I'm coming after.
Go!
So that's on next week's show, The Mummy, a very popular film when it came out. Did I give it the right date? Was it 99 or was it even sooner than that?
I thought it was 99.
Yeah, man, we've been in the 90s a lot lately with our movies. Let's see.
Hey, man.
Yeah, 1999, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, the Brendan Fraser Mummy, not the the Tom Cruise one from a couple of years ago. So we're going to talk The Mummy next week of the show, directed by Stephen Sommers. That was a big, I remember when The Mummy came out, it was a big tentpole summer movie that year. I think it came out Memorial Day weekend, did very well at the box office. People went and saw it. So it should be a fun one. I have to admit, I'm kind of looking forward to rewatching it. So
and, I like the lore. I mean, it did well in the box office and just the Magi and the legend and the curse and that part's always fun, you know?
Yeah.
So going to be fun to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. It'll be fun. So, so that's next week on the show, The Mummy. Hopefully, Long is able to come back and join us. And mostly just because I want to kick his ass on Duel of the Nerds. I mean, I'll be honest. As always, though, therebelradiopodcast.com for all your needs. We thank you, as always, for listening. Check us out on Facebook and the Twitter at Rebel Radio Pod. And which I've been trying to do better lately about posting the episodes on Twitter. Sometimes I just forget about Twitter. You know, it's like, you don't get a lot of interaction. We don't get a lot of interaction from it, but we do get some interaction from our Facebook, and we have a Facebook group for the show. So if you're on Facebook, join the group so you get all the, because I tend to update the group more than I do the page, and that way you get all your latest updates from us at the Rebel Radio Podcast. But as always, just be safe out there, and happy Valentine's Day to any of you fuckers that believe in that shit. And since this episode will be out on that day. But thank you as always for listening. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
And long in spirit until he returns next week.
Yeah.
Remember, as always, just go there
and do it.